Welcome back to Spanning the State. I'm Kristen Bry.
And I'm Brian Noonan. The Trump administration's push to send deportees to countries that do not typically accept them. The U.S. had designated Laos as one of those countries, calling them uncooperative and because it did not receive our deportees. Well, that's one of the reasons Journal Sentinel readers have become so fascinated with the story of Ma Yang, a 37-year-old Milwaukee woman who was deported to Laos, a city she never visited. Sophie Carson has been reporting on Yang's story for the Journal Sentinel. Sophie joins us in studio. Thanks for being here. This story is it's crazy. Give us kind of an overview, a recap of what's going on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Ma Yang, she is a mother of five. She has lived in the Milwaukee area since she was 8 months old. She was born in Thailand to Hmong refugee parents who had fled Laos after the Vietnam War. She had legal permanent residency or a green card until that was revoked after she took a plea deal as part of a marijuana trafficking operation. So she recently, about 2-3 weeks ago, was deported to Laos. She has never been there. She doesn't speak the Lao language, and her family remains here in South Milwaukee. This has taken everyone by surprise because normally people are not deported to Laos.
So is it more that the fact that she was here without a green card, or is it matter specifically because, as Brian said, Laos is not usually a cooperative country in taking deportees?
Right. She had been living here with a green card, but when she pleaded guilty to this criminal conviction, that green card was revoked. She says that she had bad advice from her attorney at the time, who said, yes, you can plead guilty. No, nothing will happen to your immigration status. That turned out to be incorrect. So that's her claim, that, you know, she was receiving bad legal advice, and that's why she took this plea deal. She was going to regular ICE check-ins downtown here at the office for ICE.
So she was transparent with it.
Yeah. I mean, they knew
her status.
Yeah. And she was, they called her in and February and said, come in for a check-in. And so she did. And that's where they detained her.
Well, didn't she get, you mentioned the first bad legal advice, but then didn't she have to sign something at ICE as well? And her attorney said, oh, don't worry. They never come and deport people. So you should be fine.
Right. You know, this is sort of a case of two bad instances of legal advice. According to Ma Yang, she says in this second case, after she served her 2.5-year sentence, she was sent to an ICE detention facility in Minnesota. A second attorney said, you know, you should sign this document that you will agree to be deported so you can be released from detention, knowing that, you know, we're hoping to reopen your case and get your conviction thrown out, and also that, you know, you probably will not be deported to Laos because very few people are. And so she did. She wanted to get home to her family. And, you know, this is sort of a different situation now for her in 2025.
Wow.
Does she have any recourse?
It's unclear. Very little likely. She's raising money at the moment to see if she can get a lawyer to reopen the case. It would probably be a pretty long legal battle. It's unclear whether she would even be able to come back to the U.S., in any way. So she's really still trying to figure all that out.
Now, as far as the conviction go, because I know we're going to hear from people go, well, she broke the law, blah, blah. You said it was a marijuana conspiracy. She was counting the money, right? Or was she actually dealing? What was her involvement?
Right. She was counting and sort of packaging cash to be sent back to California suppliers. She was part of a 26-person conspiracy trafficking charge. So, I suppose in the grand scheme of things, a relatively small role. But, you know, she did plead guilty and serve 2.5 years for that. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I was going to move on if you have a follow-up.
No.
So Laos accepted her. Is she technically a citizen there?
That's the other confusing thing. she, I spoke to her partner yesterday, it seems that Laos accepted her, but she may have previously been a Laos citizen because her parents were Laos citizens. But the State Department says people who are Laos citizens and are away for an extended period of time, like, relinquish or lose their citizenship. So she has, like, a document that is in, you know, some sort of birth certificate, but she does not know if she's a citizen or not.
So where is she? Like, where is she right now?
She's living right now in a rooming house where the Laos military had put her. She is, you know, being allowed to stay there. Initially, they sort of kept her there for days without being able to leave. Now she's able to leave, but she doesn't really know where to go. So she's staying in the capital, and she's trying to figure out what to do next. She was taken to the hospital over the weekend, where she was checked out, and got more, got prescriptions for her, essential medication she needs.
And what, in your story today and the story the other day, you talked about the response that this story has gotten throughout Milwaukee. What are you hearing, and why do you think this story is resonating so much with your readers?
It's a really extraordinary reaction. This has reached hundreds of thousands of people. I'm getting emails from people in Thailand, people in Malaysia. I got an email from someone who is from Wisconsin and lives in Laos. So I've gotten,
wow.
I got an email from a pastor in California who also, you know, is facing a similar situation. He's also Hmong. So it's been really interesting to hear from a wide range of readers. And I think the thing that resonates with people in the Hmong community is that they didn't really expect that deportation would be a possibility, that they would be sent back to a country where, you know, their parents or grandparents fled, they as refugees. And the other detail I think that's interesting is it's a little complex of a case, you know?
Yeah.
She was convicted of crime, but it was marijuana. You know, she's a mother of five. You know, she was a permanent citizen. So there's a lot of permanent resident. So there's a lot of different details there that I think make it an interesting conversation. And this idea that you could be sort of dumped in a country that you've never been to is a little frightening for people, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so has there been any reaction or talks of, on a, like a more official side, as, I mean, because you do immigration reporting and more than just this story. When you reach out for any comment from like local ICE office, I mean, I don't even know really what the question is, but just kind of like the other side of this, as far as this is just the standing operating process that we have now.
Right. I don't have much reaction from local officials, okay. It is sort of, I would say her case is not unique nationally, in terms of the number of cases we've seen of people being detained, or deported, who might have been charged with a crime or convicted of a crime, and who's an immigrant. There's a lot of those kinds of cases.
Now, you spoke with her partner, who was still in South Milwaukee. They just bought a house and he's got the kids there, and he started a GoFundMe to help with the expenses of the family. But what are the next steps? What is he telling you are the next steps for trying to get Ma back? Or where do they go from here? Or are they pretty much just, this is it?
You know, I asked him that same question yesterday. They're really still in like emergency mode.
Yeah.
They are really still trying to figure things out. The answer I got yesterday, you know, I thought, okay, it's been a few days since the story. You know, they're focused on raising money. This is her partner, Michael Bubb, he is on disability. So he doesn't work. So, you know, they're really, searching, for funds. And then, Ma Yang is also working to figure out a way to, you know, move somewhere in Laos, maybe find a job, something like that. So they're really searching for what to do next, but it's a little unclear right now.
Wow. All right. Well,
gutting.
I know you're going to be covering this and staying on top of it. Sophie, thanks for coming in. Sophie Carson, you can read all her stuff at jsonline.com. Follow the stories. And, man, it is unusual. Just to be here, go to this country where you have some tenuous ties to it, and you don't speak the language, and you have no job. And, well, thanks for bringing us up.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
All right. Sophie Carson, again, you follow her and read all her stuff at jsonline.com. And we'll be back with more after this on Spanning the State. It is Spanning the State. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I'm Kristen Bry. And should we go back to some of the jokes?
Yes, we need it. I think we need a joke after talking to Sophie. Not talking to Sophie, the subject matter.
The subject matter yes. at hand. Yes, because it is, what is it? It's National Laugh Day?
National Laugh Day. All right. So we got some jokes.
I liked this one. This is also kind of, it's a borderline. A man walks into a therapist, his therapist's office, wrapped in saran wrap. His therapist says, "I can see your nuts."
Good morning.
My last girlfriend was cross-eyed. We broke up because we didn't see eye to eye.
Hey!
Wait a minute. Hold on. You don't get to be offended at that joke and give a rim shot to the nuts joke. That doesn't seem balanced.
Do another one.
No. Now it seems like a part of the manosphere. All right. Why did after a bad harvest, why did the farmer decide to take up a career as a DJ?
I'm not sure.
Because he had sick beats. There you go.
Here's a delayed St. Patrick's Day joke. Yes. From the 608. What do you call an Irishman bouncing off the walls?
I don't know.
Ricochet.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, oh. Brother, this guy stinks!
Groan? You're groaning, Rhea?
All right, you want to groan. This is a joke that I told on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
When were you on the Oprah Winfrey Show?
I was on Oprah twice.
What?
Yes. There's a lot you don't know about.
Were you
me.
Like...
No. I was on the panel. It was an April Fool's Day show. This was back in the late 80s, early 90s. She had a bunch of comics come on and just tell jokes. And so this is the joke I told on the Oprah Winfrey Show. It's not one of mine. It's a street joke. And as you know, I don't really tell street jokes. A pregnant woman was in a car accident. And when she got to the hospital, she was in a coma. Well, her children were born. When she woke up from the coma, she said, "Oh, my God, how are my babies?" And the nurse said, "Don't worry. Your babies are fine. Your brother came and he named them." She said, "Oh, my gosh, what did I have?" She said, "You had a girl and a boy." And the woman said, "What did they call it?"
Welcome back to Spanning the State. I am Kristen Bry.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Now, we have been talking to you and reminding you that there is an election on April 1st, not April 11th. Don't pay attention to any crazy postcards. It's April 1st. And a lot of the focus, right, the main focus is the Supreme Court race.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also been telling people, and rightfully so, that there are other big things on the ballot, the second one being the superintendent for DPI. The
Public
person who
yes.
is going to be in charge of all the school districts.
Mm-hmm.
So we know we've got Jill Underly and Brittany Kinzer are running for this job. And we also saw a debate a couple weeks ago for the Supreme Court candidates. And we said, why would we want to hear from the Supreme Court candidates? How are they going to answer these questions? They just have to interpret the law. That should be the thing. They can't comment. Well, is that the same for the superintendent of DPI? Because the ladies who are running for this job have been offered chances to debate, and they have both turned it down. Jill Underly has turned down three opportunities to debate. Brittany Kinzer has declined one. Does this matter to you as maybe you're a parent of a school-age child? This office has much more discretion when it comes to their responsibilities, when it comes to funding and all the things
they make the curriculum. Budget. It still comes down to the legislature of how much they're going to give schools.
But they've got to manage this huge department. They've got to figure out the best curriculum, all the things that goes with the job. And right now, and you pointed this out yesterday, I think, if not on the air, off the air, that right now it's boiling down to one issue. Everybody's saying it's either school choice or public schools.
Is this a big debate in Illinois, too?
No, because it's...
We also have a really strong teachers union,
We have a really strong teachers union. We also don't... our superintendent of education is not voted on by the public.
Yeah.
It's appointed, and there's a lot of input from educators that goes into the superintendent being picked. So it is, I mean, there's always a debate, especially in Chicago, where the budget is insane and there's a lot of trouble with CPS, and we've got, you know, the proponents of school choice trying to get that taken care of, and then the mayor is trying to get money back from CPS. That it's a nightmare down there. So don't even, you think Milwaukee public schools are bad. I think they're equal, if not maybe a little bit better than Chicago, but I don't know. It's it's not good. So you have said, and you've got a, you have skin in this game, because in a few years Frankie's going to be going to school.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to hear this debate more so than the Supreme Court debate. I want to know what these women think and what they're going to do to handle it, and how they're going to approach the one of the big knocks from Kinzer's campaign is this whole thing about Jill Underly and DPI changing the test scores and changing the criteria for meeting certain things. And they're saying, no, this isn't right. Jill Underly has, again, turned down three different opportunities to debate, which always gets me a little curious about a candidate.
Yeah, it's, you know, because I think when I saw one of the quotes is her saying, like, she's very busy. And it's true. It's like she's running a reelection campaign while she's also has a job. And
yeah, but welcome to politics.
I know, and it is a political position. It's, I mean, and this is, I mean, it is unique. We said this when we had Jack Kelly on a little bit ago. We are the only state that does it this way. Mm-hmm. That there's not a board of education. That we the only oversight this position has. She does not report. This position does not report to the governor officially. And it does not report to a board of education. They only report to voters every 4 years. And yet it is the second billing for this race. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago when Jill Underly won, there was not huge turnout for that.
Right.
And so the expectation, I think in theory, yes, there is issues to debate on between these two people. And would anyone watch it? Because how many people watched this, besides people who work in the news or people who are politicos, how many people watched the Supreme Court debate? How many people watched the Senate debate when we have senators up for a re-election? And so does it make a difference?
Well, here's to answer your one question, probably not a lot of people would watch it. But I bet those people the next day would be looking in the Journal Sentinel.
Yeah,
or looking,
and some people
would
write about it.
They will get, yes, there will be coverage about what these candidates say. And, you know, most of the time, if you read the Journal Sentinel after the Supreme Court debate, here's the takeaways from this. Mm-hmm. Here was the question. Here were the responses from the two candidates. That's really
all. Clips
almost,
from it that get chopped up into ads and such. Yeah,
and that's all most people need. They want to know, all right, are we going to change back to the old standards of testing? Are we going to, how much are we going to fund school choice? What do you guys think about this? What are we going to do about kids not being able to read in Wisconsin? That's the, you know, if I have a kid and I want to
tell
them.
And they're doing interviews.
Sure, because Brittany
Kinzer was on Steve's
show. And
so I guess that's the thing. It's like, is it a difference between having, it's like, yes, Brittany Kinzer was on Steve's show. She was on our show before she even decided to run.
Right,
talking
exactly.
About her reading program. Dr. Jill Underly has been on our show in the past to talk about different things. And so I think there's opportunities to hear them talk about these things. It's just in the debate, one-on-one setting is not going to happen, which I agree, like, is not a great look and is a disservice to voters, especially in a role that there's more discretion than just interpreting the law.
And one of the charges from the Kinzer camp is that Dr. Underly has decided not to, she's declined any debate hosted by members of the press. She has said that she would do one from Wisconsin Public Education Network, which is a nonpartisan public education advocacy group, which seems like a friendly group to
the public school side. Candidate.
So I don't know. I and this is just me. This is my own opinion. I don't trust any candidate for any office who says they won't debate.
Yeah.
It's if you want my vote, tell me why.
Yeah.
And show me why. And may if you have a specific charge against the other candidate, say it to them and let them answer it. And then we can let us decide from their answer what we believe. And that's what I'd like to see here.
And we're not going to get it.
We're not going to get it.
It's less than 2 weeks away. I can't believe how close this election is. Early voting, if you've missed it. It's already started. It started yesterday.
Yes, so listen.
But go get it out of the way.
I know. I got notification that my early voting ballot is on its way.
Oh.
So they said.
What are you guys electing this time of year?
I'll tell you when I get my ballot.
Okay.
I don't know, but I know the ballot's coming. And I'm like, oh, when I open it, I'll see. Oh, I'm voting for this. And then I'll have to do some research before I mail it back in. So we're debating candidates for office. Let's bring the debate closer to home. And I knew I'd be surprised if you haven't heard about this.
I had not.
All right. Well, it's a social media debate started on TikTok. It may be happening in your house because if you do the laundry, I'm guessing you've had this kind of conversation. What am I talking about? We'll tell you after this on Spanning the State.
Welcome back to Spanning the State. I'm Kristen Bry.
I'm Brian Noonan. Who does the laundry at your house?
We both do it.
That's very nice.
I'm better at it.
Ooh. Why? What makes you better at laundry?
Because Mike never learned. He washed a dry clean only beautiful sweater that I gave him for Christmas last year. Now it fits me.
Oh, no.
So he doesn't read the labels of how to take care of more delicate clothing. So I don't think he would fight me on that one.
Okay. All right. Well, see, we're about 50-50.
Yeah.
I do read the labels.
Good.
And I may actually be a little more fussy about laundry than Debbie.
Oh.
Because she doesn't, I don't believe she measures out the detergent well.
You don't trust her? You don't trust how she's
doing it? No, it's just that. It's not that. It's that she says, oh, I have to run a second rinse because everything still has soap on it. And it doesn't happen when I do the laundry. So I don't know. But that little argument right there is the basis of a new viral TikTok debate, which, again, I am shocked. I thought you had your thumb on all the viral TikTok debates.
I have not seen this one.
All right. Well, this is about how to dispense laundry detergent into the washing machine. Now, here are your choices. You have three different things. So before starting the washing machine, do you A, pour some liquid detergent into the measuring cup and then pour that into the machine. B, pour detergent directly into the machine. Or C, throw the detergent-filled cap into the machine.
What if you use pods?
Oh, well, when do you throw the pods in?
I throw the pods in where the detergent goes in the little compartment.
Oh, I've never used that little compartment.
Oh, yeah. I don't throw the pod just into the... I put it in the compartment.
Huh. All right, see?
So I've thrown a loop into this entire
premise.
You
have, because I fear the pods, because I don't know if I'll start eating
them. I also don't like the pods. Mike likes the pods.
Why does he like the pods?
I don't know. I don't know why he likes the pods, but I also don't like it because it's more plastic.
Okay, yeah,
it's the plastic film. It's the big plastic tubs. Like, you know what's actually, this is totally doing.
No, that's fine.
White vinegar is actually one of the best detergents you can do.
Don't your clothes smell like salad?
Mm-mm.
They
no.
don't?
Mm-mm.
How much vinegar do you use?
I think it depends on the load, but yeah, okay. It's also a good way to clean your actual, like if you ever have that musty smell on your, towels.
Why do you mock me with smells?
Oh yeah. I forget the smell. But yeah, so it's actually one of the better natural detergents you can use. Yeah.
Now, so
I use that a lot on Frankie when I was the hyper mom at first Frankie's like sensitive baby skin.
Okay.
I would wash her stuff with vinegar instead, and it never smelled bad, but it was a softer, more natural detergent.
Wow, all right.
Anyways, we can talk about this.
It's all about wash and how you do it, because everybody has their own way.
Yeah.
I've never heard this about, like, I use vinegar to clean out my coffee pot. I don't use vinegar to
similar,
do laundry.
Similar thing, though.
Yeah.
But it also makes your clothes softer.
Is that right?
And it gets smells out, yeah.
What about fabric softener sheets? You don't go for those? Because of the environment?
The sheets. Like the drier sheets, but I don't use fabric softener in the wash.
Oh, I don't use that either.
No.
But the sheets.
The sheets we use. I also have, again, I try to be a
good
citizen.
Did you do a dryer ball?
Citizen.
Is that what you were going to say? We tried
Mike
dryer balls.
Mike also hates the dryer balls.
I hate the dryer balls,
because they
too
end up all over the house.
They do. They're not. It's loud. The drywall.
Oh, that doesn't bother me.
I can't stand the clump, clump, clump. And this one, we Debbie and I were in lockstep. She actually pulled the plug on the dryer ball first. Because I was like, well, if you want the dryer ball, I've got other things that we'll fight about. I'm not going to bother with the dryer. And then one day she was just, I'm so sick of these dryer balls. Oh, wow. All right. Since you feel so strongly, honey, go ahead. We can stop and go back to the sheets. What surprised me was about this debate is how many people said they fill up the cup and drop the whole thing
in
the washer.
That is surprising to me. I did not know that was a move.
I didn't know it was a thing either. But they said, the people who defended this said, well, of course you do that. Because one, it gets all the detergent out of the cup. Then your cup is really clean.
What? Do you do that, Rhea?
Stop.
I fill it up to the about the limit, yeah.
Do you throw the cup in the washer?
Oh, God,
machine?
No, I don't put the washer in.
Oh, that's what we're, that's the part that's weird to me.
You don't measure it? You always just fill it up to the top?
Yeah.
No, there's little markings.
Too much detergent.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, it's not.
For me, I don't own my own washer and dryer, so I just have to do what I can. So you use big loads.
You don't care what happens?
Well, I care.
All right. But you still do it.
Yeah.
Oh, now see, text her. My wife throws the Tide cap in the machine, and then then my job is to look for it.
Oh.
Well, how hard is it to find?
And also, I guess white vinegar is harmful to the rubber gaskets of a washing machine, especially a front loader.
Oh. Do you have a front-loading washing machine?
I do.
Do you really?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I don't know.
Thanks for the tip.
It's going to be
maybe
very,
I'll stop doing that.
Very expensive to keep your... See, here's the thing about being so environmentally conscious. It ends up costing you a lot more. All right, well, listen, the debate continues, but we do not. We must take a break here on Spanning the State.
I believe it's time for me to fly.
All right, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, but a big show again tomorrow, so we hope you will join us then.
Every day.
Yes, every day. Join us every day.
Join us every day, because if it's not us, it's a Brewers game, and who wants to miss that?
Exactly. Have a laugh today. It's National Laugh Day. Wisconsin's Afternoon News is next.
See ya.